ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। गुड मॉर्निंग। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड जड़ा भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगुना। टेक्स्ट नंबर 5।
स वासनात्मा विषयोपरक्तो गुण प्रवाहो विकृत षोदशात्मा बिभ्रत्प्रतन्नामभिरूपभेदम् अन्तर्बहिष्त्वं च पुरे स्तनोति।
Translation: because the mind is absorbed in desires of pious and impious activities, it is naturally subjected to the transformations of lust and anger. In that way, it becomes attracted to material sense enjoyment. In other words, the mind is conducted by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. There are 11 senses and 5 material elements, and out of these 16 items, the mind is the chief. Therefore, the mind brings about birth in different types of bodies among demigods, human beings, animals, and birds. When the mind is situated in a higher or lower position, it accepts a higher or lower material body. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Transmigration among the 8.4 million species of life is due to the minds being polluted by certain material qualities. Due to the mind, the soul is subjected to pious and impious activities. The continuation of material existence is like the waves of material nature. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Mayara vashe yachha beshe kacha avudubu bhai. My dear brother, the spirit soul is completely under the control of Maya and you are being carried away by its waves. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha अहंकार विमूढ़ात्मा कर्ताहम इति मन्यते। द बिविल्डर्ड स्पिरिट सोल अंडर द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर थिंक्स हिमसेल्फ द डूअर ऑफ एक्टिविटीज विच आर इन एक्चुअलिटी कैरिड आउट बाय नेचर। भगवद्गीता 3.27। मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस मीन्स बीइंग फुल्ली कंट्रोल्ड बाय मटेरियल नेचर। द माइंड इज द सेंटर फॉर एक्सेप्टिंग द डिक्टेशंस ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। इन दिस वे द लिविंग एंटिटी is carried away in different types of bodies continuously, millennium after millennium. Krishna Bhuli se jiva anadi bahirmukha ateva maya thare deya samsara dukha. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 20.117. Due to the living entity's forgetfulness of Krishna, one is bound by the laws of material nature. Hare Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was in a morning walk with his devotees, with his disciples. And Prabhupada is explaining how living entity is suffering in this material world. He just can't control anything. He is completely controlled by these three modes. For this disciple, he started arguing with Prabhupada. For Prabhupada's pleasure, of course. Because Prabhupada would engage them in mock debates. But this disciple said, but Prabhupada, we are controlling so much. We have made such nice aeroplanes. Prabhupada said, what is this aeroplane? The small, tiny living entity is driving a big aeroplane, but one small mistake, everything is finished. So disciples said, finally, but Prabhupada, we do have little control. And at that time, Prabhupada emphatically thumped his cane on the ground and said, little control? Little control means no control. A very, very profound statement Prabhupada said. How living entity cannot control, is entangled by the three modes of material nature. He is completely suffering. And especially in today's purport, as we are seeing, Jada Bharat is instructing Maharaj Raghuna. He is also making the same point. How living entity is struggling with his mind. And this mind is making hellish or suffering situations for the living entity. Sometime back, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj was telling us that his father was working for a railway company and his father's friend was taking care of the wagons where the vegetables are stored. It is very cold inside. And he went for inspection one day in the evening. And he went inside and somebody locked the door from outside. And it is refrigerated. It is very cold. And every engineer knows that nobody can survive inside that temperature for more than 6 hours. So as he was trapped, he came outside near the door and he banged the door. Open, open, I'm trapped inside. But this man who locked, he walked away. Nobody could hear him. For this man, Satchinandan Prabhu's father's colleague, he panicked. And he knew that 6 hours only I have more to live. It is ice cold. So he started worrying and worrying. And next day morning, finally, when the workers came and they opened the door, naturally they found him dead. His body was cold and he was dead. And he had died of cold. But the biggest shock for everyone was not that he died. The biggest shock was, in that whole area, for the last 24 hours, there had been no electricity. Still, this man was dead. So what killed him? It was not the cold that killed him. It was his own mind. So, mind is so powerful that if we allow the mind to rule us, it can create havoc in our lives. And nature of the mind is, it will always convince us that you are not happy. Whatever the situation. The grass is always greener on the other side. So therefore, we see that so many people, they have everything in the world, everything in life, but still they are dissatisfied. A poor man, he might want to become rich. And the rich man, if you ask a rich man in Bombay, what is your desire? He'll say, my desire is, one day I will go to the village somewhere in the rural area, in complete nature. I will have a nice hut and I will relax there. And if you go to that rural area, that village, and ask the villager there, what you want, what is your desire? You will say, one day I will go to Bombay and make it big. So everyone has this desire. And the mind will convince us that we are not happy. And therefore this karshati, the struggle for material existence, goes on and on and on. Therefore this one of these richest men in Germany, W. Olger, one of the biggest billionaires in the world. Few years ago, he committed suicide. And everybody was shocked why he committed suicide. And they found a suicide note which said, he shot himself with a small caliber pistol by which the face doesn't get disfigured. He just shot himself dead because in the suicide note he writes, I'm so disappointed in life. I can see that I'm getting older and wrinkles on my face. I'm not able to stop old age. And I'm very dissatisfied. So many of us might think, if only I had half of his money, I would be so happy. But here is a person who has everything, but still the mind is convincing him, you are not happy. And the nature of the mind is that whatever object we want to enjoy, till we get it, we are happy. The greatest enjoyment we experience is when the sense object is in our mind. Once we actually possess it, there is no longer happiness. Like somebody might want a nice car. So as long as he is meditating on that car, I will buy this car, I will enjoy. So he is happy. But once he purchases that car, then there is no happiness. Then he has to take care of that. He has to put fuel. He has to service it. So much anxiety, insurance. So like that, this is the nature of the mind. Therefore, a devotee who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, he is able to see this trap of the mind and is able to completely experience joy of Krishna consciousness. He doesn't heed to this constant bickering, constant chattering of the mind. He is able to tolerate. Srila Prabhupada was flying from Dallas to New Orleans in July 1975. And Upendra Prabhu was his servant. And they were both seated in the first class section. And suddenly the pilot announced, fasten your seat belts, we are landing in 10 minutes. And no sooner was the announcement made, the plane dropped violently. It just came down. And all the passengers started falling off. And everyone was screaming, yelling. And suddenly the plane stopped jumping. And again it created a tension. And the plane started waving in mid-air, tossing back and forth and like that. And as the passengers were crying and screaming, the overhead bins, it flew open and all the luggage fell. And it was complete chaos. And Prabhupada just turned to Upendra. And Upendra got very scared. He grabbed onto Prabhupada. He said, if I die now, no problem. I am next to a pure devotee. He was in a lot of anxiety. But he was saying that Prabhupada is completely equipoised. His hand was on the beat bag and he was saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Prabhupada was chanting. Very, very calm. And he turned to Upendra and said, what is happening? He asked very, in a small irritated way. Upendra Prabhu says, Prabhupada was as irritated as he would be when his lunch would be served late. He was not kind of upset by what is happening. There is death coming. Upendra said, Prabhupada, it's a big storm. We are in danger. Prabhupada said, okay. And Prabhupada continued chanting. And then finally, the plane landed and somehow the pilot made it safely on the runway. And as the plane came safe, all the passengers started cheering, applauding, congratulating. Prabhupada simply turned to Upendra and said, how far is the temple? Okay. And Prabhupada was not at all affected. Prabhupada was completely equipoised. So devotee, because he is absorbed in Krishna, he is able to overcome this problem of the mind. Actually, both devotee and a non-devotee, both are seeking happiness in life. Because that is the nature of the soul. Anando mayo abhyasa. We are all seeking happiness. But the difference is, a devotee seeks happiness in Krishna. Because Krishna is the center of his activity and his life, and service to Krishna is the center. His happiness makes him peaceful. Whereas a non-devotee is seeking happiness in material sense objects, and therefore is always in anxiety, is always suffering. And therefore, this anxiety, this suffering, as Prabhupada writes in today's purport, is because of forgetfulness of Krishna and because of this lot of material dirt is piled up in the heart. And to clean this material dirt, Krishna himself demonstrated in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through many pastimes. And one such wonderful pastime is the pastime of Gundicha Marjan. This is a most celebrated pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by which we can all clean up all these anarthas and dirt in our heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed a desire to Kasheshwar Mishra that we want to clean the Gundicha temple, sparkingly clean, before Lord Jagannath enters Gundicha. And this news was conveyed to King Pratap Rudra and he became very excited. He became very happy and immediately he arranged thousands of brooms and thousands of water pots for cleaning. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then smeared sandalwood pulp on all the foreheads of all the devotees and the festivity started and each devotee with a broom started cleaning the Gundicha temple. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the forefront. He was leading this cleaning service. And there was a very interesting thing they were doing. They were not talking at all. They were only chanting Krishna. For anything they had to do, they would only say Krishna. If they had to ask for water, they would say Krishna and take the water. So Krishna was the only word that was chanted throughout. But devotees were completely absorbed in chanting of Krishna's names as they were cleaning the Gundicha temple. And it is said that Lord was cleaning with so much ecstasy that his whole body, transcendental body, became full of dust. And that added to his beauty. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared more beautiful. Just like Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, they would grab onto the tail of the calf early in the morning and the calf would run through the streets of Vrindavan. And as they would roll in the dust of Raja with all the cow dung smeared on them, they would look more beautiful and they would give great joy. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body was smeared with the dust and it increased his beauty and ecstasy of all the devotees. And Mahaprabhu was not simply cleaning with the broom, he was also cleaning with his tears. He was in great ecstasy, anticipating that Krishna is now coming to Vrindavan. And they cleaned the Bhoga Mandir, all the other residential quarters of the Lord, everything they cleaned very nicely. And Mahaprabhu, leading the entire exercise of cleaning, they collected huge amounts of straw, dust and all the grains that were lying around and they piled it up. It was piles of huge amounts of dust was collected. And Mahaprabhu's pile of the highest. And after the cleaning with the brooms, then they started cleaning the subtle dirt, you know, the softer things they started cleaning. And they started using huge water pots to clean. And they started cleaning the ceiling, the wall, the floor, all the things very nicely. And then Mahaprabhu took his own cloth and cleaned the asana of Lord Jagannath. And That was very beautiful sight. And then Mahaprabhu was praising all the devotees who had managed to pile up huge amounts of dust by cleaning. And whoever did not pile up huge amount, Mahaprabhu would mildly chastise them. He would say, this is not good. And Mahaprabhu punished them. He gave them a fine. The fine is, you should sponsor sweet cakes and sweet rice. So that punishment was also ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. So devotees were happily chanting and cleaning. And one Vaishnav came and he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's charanamrit. Mahaprabhu didn't chastise him at all. He just told Sarup Damodar, your Gaudiya Vaishnavas are like this. So Mahaprabhu chastises only his intimate people in his intimate, devotees in his intimate circle. And then the whole exercise was done. And it is explained that just like Dhruva Maharaj became very peaceful after all the anarthas were cleaned from his heart and when he got the darshan of the Lord. Similarly, this cleaning act of Gundicha temple brings a cooling effect in the heart of a devotee who cleans the heart. He is burnt of all these desires. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Mama Mana Mandire Raho Nishidin Krishna Murari Sri Krishna Murari. So we are inviting Krishna in our heart and the heart is presently filled with so much dirt. So devotees clean through the process of service and through the process of chanting. Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur writes elaborate commentaries on this. He says that the gross dust that was collected, he compares to the desire for economic development which everybody has. Shunnatam sakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridayantastoi abhadrani vidunoti suhursatam. That all these abhadras, unwanted things from the heart, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says three things. Economic development, desire for impersonal merging, and desire for mystic yogas or mystic powers that we desire. All this come under the gross dust that Mahaprabhu cleaned. So we have to clean this from our heart through the process of service and chanting. But even if that goes, this Chetodarpana process is very, very deep because there are subtle dirts which is also there in the heart. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says that this is more dangerous and one has to work very rigorously to clean this. And he compares this with Nishidatma, that Nishidachara, not following the strictures of the scriptures, doing the forbidden acts. Scripture says don't do this, and if you do that, that comes under this category. Also, Jiva Himsa, stopping preaching activities is also very dangerous. And then he says desire for Pratishta, name, fame, is a subtle dirt which has to be cleansed very finely. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur compares that with Shukrera Vishta, with boar dung. And also, he talks about Kuti Nati, which is fault finding, which is very, very powerful anartha for devotees. So, it is explained that devotees have to conscientiously work to clean themselves of these anarthas. Because especially fault finding, envy, these anarthas are deep rooted in the heart. First few years of Krishna consciousness, we think everything is perfect. I am doing nice devotional service. And after some time we realize that, till now what I have been doing is not devotional service. I will now begin. Then we begin. And then after 5 years we realize, my God, what have been the motivations? No, I should start now, afresh. So like that, devotees, they constantly have to work on their anarthas. And this is how this keep plaguing our heart and we have to endeavor very hard. And it has been seen that this is the most difficult phase in Krishna consciousness. Adho Shraddha, we get some faith after hearing some nice examples in lectures or Gita course. We get some faith. Yes, Krishna consciousness works. And then we get association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha. And then they tell us, follow four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, that is Bhajana Kriya. For Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya become very nice. But then that Nishta, that stage of faith, steadiness in Krishna consciousness, before that, there is this long phase of Anartha Nivritti, which Satsarup Maharaj calls as the vast intermediate zone where we are suffering the calling and the screaming of the mind. Because once we come to the stage of Anartha Nivritti, Krishna is so merciful, He exposes our own hidden motivations. For a long time, we don't even know that these anarthas exist. The subtle anarthas, we don't even realize we have it. And by the time we realize, that is actually Krishna's mercy. He reveals to us that you have this anartha of envy. And at that time, a devotee has a choice. Either to cling on to those anarthas and not want to get reformed, or another option a devotee could do is accept, yes, this is my weakness, this is my anartha, and offer it to Krishna for healing. Pray to Krishna and execute the process of devotional service very sincerely. So, devotee with weak-hearted nature, Krishna tells Arjuna, don't be weak-hearted. So if you are weak-hearted, a devotee is not able to reconcile to the fact that he has these anarthas, he has these problems, and he succumbs. And he doesn't execute the process with complete determination and faith. And he feels miserable at his fallen condition. And he feels so miserable and so despondent that he doesn't even have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, a devotee, a steady devotee is he who accepts he has his anarthas and continues to struggle joyfully, having faith in the process. That yes, Krishna, this is what I am. This is the fallen I am. But I have no choice. I have to take shelter of you. So with this mood, a devotee advances in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, although anartha nivritti is the most painful stage, devotees often recollect that the stage when they experienced maximum pain and maximum suffering in Krishna consciousness, when they look back in retrospect after many years, they say, those were the best phases in Krishna consciousness. That was the best phase of my life because I was completely dependent on Krishna. So therefore, from devotees' realizations, we can learn that one should accept these problems, face them as Brahmaji prays, tolerate, but not simply tolerate. If you simply tolerate, we'll go crazy. Tattenu kampam susumikshamano bunjan evatmakritam vipakam ridvag vapurbhir vidadam namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayabhak. From the heart, offer prayers to Krishna. So simply tolerating is not sufficient. One has to offer prayers. And when we do this, then we get the strength to tide over this phase and experience the joy of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada also writes that besides service, one should also engage in chanting of the holy names. Holy name is the most powerful ingredient to cleanse the heart. It is the most powerful cleaning agency for Gundicha Marjan of the heart. And for Kali Yuga, holy name is the only shelter. We find in Mahabharata a very interesting episode. Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked. Yudhishthira Maharaj was waiting for Arjuna to come back from Dwarka. And Yudhishthira Maharaj became anxious that Arjuna has not yet come back. What is happening? And at that time, Bhima was waiting outside the door, waiting for Arjuna. And suddenly one man came running. And he said, Bhima, I am in trouble. A strange thing happened in my house today. I had made a fence to protect all my crops. And the fence started eating all the crops. Help me. Bhima said, what a strange thing. I never heard of such a problem. I can't understand this. You go and tell Yudhishthir Maharaj. And this man went inside. And after some time, another man came running. He said, Bhima, help me. I had collected huge water in a big container. And when I put that water in four different small containers. And then I took the four small containers and put it back in the big container. But the big container would not be full. It was only half. How can this happen? I put all the water in the four containers, but the four containers I couldn't fill. So Bhima said, this also I can't understand. You go inside and ask Yudhishthir Maharaj. And after some time, another man came running and he said, Bhima, I'm in trouble, help me. I saw that I have a huge elephant. And I put my elephant, today my elephant passed through the eye of my needle. The needle I use for stitching clothes. The elephant went through that needle. So Bhima said, my God, I've never heard of this. This man said, but there was one other problem. The elephant passed through, but its tail got stuck. So Bhima said, this is getting more and more bewildering for me. You go inside to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then finally the fourth man came and he said, Bhima, I've got very strange thing happening in my house today. Today I just put my thread, small thread, and I put it on the mountain near my house. And the mountain started moving. I could pull the mountain with my thread. So Bhima said, you go inside and tell Yudhishthir Maharaj. And a long time passed and these four men didn't come out. So Bhima became curious and he went inside. And he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, where are those four people? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, who four people? Nobody came here. And then Bhima narrated what happened. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, that was Kali who came in four different guises. And then Bhima said, that is okay, but what is the purport? Why did he say such strange things? So Yudhishthira Maharaj explained that the first time Kali said that I made a fence and the fence itself ate the crops, which means in Kali Yuga, the people who are supposed to protect, like the kings, the parents, elderly people, the administrators, they themselves will gobble up the citizens. They themselves will destroy their dependents. This will happen in Kali Yuga. This is what it indicates. And second thing, Yudhishthira Maharaj said that you saw that a big water container was filling up all the small containers, but the small containers could not fill back the big container. This means that a father will take care of 4 sons, 5 sons. But all the 5 of them combined together will not be able to take care of their one father. They will neglect parents. So first he said, parents will neglect child. Second, in Kali Yuga, children will not take care of their elders. And then third, he says, you saw an elephant passing through the eye of a needle. What Kali is saying is that all big, big criminals and underworld dons, they will all escape. They will not come under the clutches of law. They will manage to go through the agency of law. But the tail got stuck. That means all the small timers, the small petty thieves and simple government servants who might do some bribery scandal for 100 rupees, 1000 rupees, they will be caught and they will be exposed. But the big thieves, they will always escape in Kali Yuga. And finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but the last time Kali came is the most important for us. That is, a huge mountain was moved by a small thread. This means the huge mountain of sins in our heart, all this dirt can be easily moved by the small thread of the holy name. Holy name is so powerful that it can wipe off all the anarthas from our heart. And we see that this was Srila Prabhupada's conviction. Hare Krishna, holy name, that's it. And Prabhupada was so convinced of the holy name that he went to what extent to give the holy name to everyone. It is amazing. Prabhupada was convinced that this alone will clean up the heart. So when Prabhupada came to San Francisco in January 1967, Mukunda and few other devotees, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, Mukunda Prabhu and Janki, Rai Ram, they had already come to San Francisco and had opened a small center in 8 Ashbury, Radha Krishna Temple. And they had been writing to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you please come here. We have started a Hare Krishna center here. And Prabhupada came. And when Prabhupada came there, while he was in New York, he had objected to an idea which Mukunda had written. That Prabhupada, we are organizing a Hare Krishna Mahamantra rock dance in the Avalon Ballroom. So the disciples in New York said, Prabhupada, how can you go to such a place? It's a horrible place. And how can the holy name be heard in such a pure place? And Prabhupada didn't say anything. Because Avalon Ballroom basically means, such a kind of environment basically means electric guitars, pounding drums, wild light shows, and thousands of drugged hippies will be lying around. And in front of them, Prabhupada was being told, you come and chant Hare Krishna and give the message of Krishna consciousness. But when Prabhupada was in San Francisco, he saw that these devotees are highly enthusiastic and fired up. So he didn't want to discourage them. He said, okay, I'll do something. But then Hayagriva came from New York and he said, and he caught hold of Sam Speedstra. He was the one who was the brain behind this whole thing. And he was fired up to organize this program. And Sam Speedstra, we know him as Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He is the most legendary organizer in ISKCON. And when Hayagriva got this news, he told Sam, how can you do this? He said, no problem. The greatest rock musicians will be there. Grateful Dead, Moby Grape, he mentioned many names. And Hayagriva said, that is okay. But Prabhupada says, even Ravi Shankar is Maya. Ravi Shankar plays simple sitar. And that is also Maya. And you are here organizing rock concert. But Sam was not in a mood to hear. He said, no, but it has been done. And he mentioned different names. And then Mukunda had to reconcile. And they went to Prabhupada. Now Prabhupada would not compromise. That is for sure. But Prabhupada also thought that now 4,000 people are expected. And the Radha Krishna temple will also get money out of this program. And 4,000 drugged hippies will come who are seeking for something higher. But they don't know what is that higher thing. They have been merged in drugged consciousness. They are accepting hallucinations as spiritual. But they have desire to know something higher. Prabhupada said, okay, we should deliver them. We should help them. And after all, Prabhupada said, I am your servant. He told the devotees, I am servant of Lord Chaitanya and I am servant of all of you. So we'll go ahead. So they went ahead with this program. And Mukunda, Sam Spitzer and Harvey Cohen, another devotee, they all went to meet the owner of this Avalon ballroom, Mr. Chet Helms. And he agreed for the devotees to use that Avalon ballroom. And because Shamsundar Prabhu was so expert that he got all the big names in rock music for that program. He managed to call all of them to play in that concert. That was a great achievement. And that was also good. That will be also good publicity for this ballroom. So they agreed. And finally, Allen Ginsberg is one of the famous poets in America during the hippie culture. He is the one who pioneered this Hare Krishna, of this drug culture. And he became devotee of Hare Krishna. He started chanting Hare Krishna. So he was very popular. So he was the one who was supposed to be leading the kirtan first. So they went to him and he was singing some tunes. So Mukunda and all of them said that, you know, you should sing simple tune. This is very western tune. This will not, Prabhupada will not like it. But Mukunda said, Allen Ginsberg said, no, this is a nice tune. This will be very appealing. So they went to Prabhupada to resolve the dispute. Prabhupada said, any tune will do. Melody does not matter. What is important is that people should chant Hare Krishna. For to encourage them, Prabhupada encouraged like this. And then they also, now this will not be simply mantra rock dance. They also plan to have a multimedia light show. Now there are two great names, Ben Meter and Roger Hilliard. They were two greatest names in this multimedia light show. So what they would be doing is, they would be using simultaneous strobe lights, light shows and slide shows, and some colors would be sputtered across the floor and the ceiling, and Ma Mantra would be splashing on the wall, and smoke would come out, a typical rock culture kind of. And they met these two big, they were the biggest names in art, and they also agreed to do this program for Prabhupada's rock concert. And one of them, Roger Hilliard, he began to wonder, how can Swamiji do rock in this rock concert? How can you have spiritual things? So he came to see Prabhupada. And he was thinking, what is this Swamiji doing here in this mad place, 8 Ashbury? But seeing Prabhupada, he was so stunned. He saw that Prabhupada could easily relate to him. Prabhupada was right there. Prabhupada was talking to them, relating to them. So he was very fascinated by Prabhupada's personality. And then finally, the day came, the big day. And Mukunda Maharaj, that time Mukunda, he was standing outside the gate collecting tickets. They had charged $2.50 for each ticket. And people were coming. And there was a big line. And one man, and people, all crazy people were coming for that program. And one man came and he was stopped. And he was a thin man with a red t-shirt written San Francisco and a big hat. And when he was stopped, he said, I am the mayor of San Francisco. So they said, okay. I want to be the chief guest. So they put him on the stage. Then the real chief guest of the program was one man called Timothy Leary. And Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, they were professors in Harvard University. And they had written a paper saying that drugs are very good. Everybody should take LSD. So after that paper, the Harvard University kicked them out of the college. So they started their own movement for drug. So this man was the chief guest for this mantra rock dance. So when he came, he was made, please sit on the stage. So all crazy people. Then Mukunda stopped one man. He had no ticket. He said, I don't have ticket. And then suddenly one devotee came. Mukunda, don't stop him. He is Stanley. And immediately he heard Stanley. And immediately saluted him. Stanley, Augustus Stanley Owsley II. He was a great synthesizer of LSD and he was a big guru. Like Underworld Don, he was there. He was a big man. So nobody could say anything to him. So immediately he was also called to the stage. Then one sannyasi came, strange, from we don't know where. And he had a tambura. But who are you? But I am Swami Kriyananda. See? So, of course, actually now when we look back, we don't know. We might see they're all crazy people, but we don't know who came actually. Some devotees, demigods might have come. Because Prabhupada was spreading the holy name, the Yuga Avatar, the incarnation of for Kali Yuga, the holy name, all over the world. And he was now going to the heart of Kali, America, and he was spreading. So naturally, it attracted, I'm sure, denizens from the other planets also. So many people came, and then came the famous Hell's Angels. the dirty head, wearing jeans, denim jackets, boots. They came inside with, you know, strange kind of costumes with their girlfriends in arms, parking their bikes outside, with smoking cigarettes, carrying chains in their hands. And then they came. So they were also given special place. And then people came with different kinds of costumes. Somebody wearing god's eyes, somebody wearing peacock feathers, like that. And each person carried his own musical instrument, flutes, guitars, and they were all seated. And devotees began a simple kirtan, and the kirtan began. And then finally, one mobby grape, he took on the stage. He started with his electric guitar, and then the whole auditorium was vibrating. People were roaring in approval. And finally, after 1.5 hours, Prabhupada came at 9:30, and when Prabhupada entered the hall, the whole crowd, it made way for Prabhupada to walk. And devotees on the stage started blowing conch shell. And Prabhupada was accompanied by Ranchor and Kirtanananda on both sides. And he walked in great style with his head held high. And there was a thunderous applause. And as soon as Prabhupada reached the stage, suddenly the light show changed. Everywhere Krishna's images were being flashed on the wall. Krishna stealing butter, Krishna killing Trinavarta, and Mahamantra started flashing on the wall. And it was like people were completely mesmerized. And Prabhupada told Allen Ginsberg, okay, you give a lecture now. Allen Ginsberg spoke that how Hare Krishna is great, and especially for those of you who have taken drugs and you want to regain your consciousness, and before re-entry you should chant Hare Krishna. So he was giving that kind of purport to Hare Krishna. After he spoke, Prabhupada spoke, and then Prabhupada told Allen Ginsberg to chant, and the chanting began. It was experienced that most of the people earlier would be only participating, but here was a unique chanting in the rock dance. Common people are also participating with their music. And Prabhupada's servant Ranchor, he took one of the drums and he started playing the drum. And when Prabhupada began to speak, there was a drum roll. Dhak, dhak, like, you know, Prabhupada is now going to speak. And the kirtan began. And one person became serious after this. And that was Roger Segal. Roger was the same person whom we now know as Gurudas Prabhu. He says, it was so much electric guitar, so much thing was going on, but we were all experiencing a calm feeling. That was very strange. And the kirtan became so intense that people were yelling, crying, shouting. And when Prabhupada suddenly got up in the middle of the kirtan, and Prabhupada started dancing. And Prabhupada made an indication for all of them to dance. And then all those who were still seated, they began to jump and dance. It was ecstatic kirtan going on. And then Prabhupada was dancing and he was sweating profusely. Kirtananda got scared that, oh, Prabhupada, it's not be good for Prabhupada's life. So he told Prabhupada stop. But Prabhupada was in no mood to hear. Prabhupada was like, Hare Krishna. Because somebody put a microphone in front of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada saw that and Prabhupada started chanting. And then it became very intense. And it reached a crescendo. And finally, Prabhupada suddenly stopped the kirtan. And then there was complete silence. Only the hum of the amplifier could be heard. And Prabhupada said, Jayom Vishnupad Paramahansa. Prabhupada started his Premadvani prayers. And then in great style, Prabhupada walked out. And there was loud applauding, cheering. And Prabhupada sat on the car. And going, he said, this is no place for a brahmachari.
Prabhupada said.
And next day morning, the Radha Krishna temple was packed with hundreds of... And from that program, we got so many stalwart devotees. After that, we got Dayananda Prabhu, Nandarani, Gaur Sundar Prabhu, Govinda Dasi, Subal Prabhu, Krishnamai Mataji. All of them, they were very intimate servants of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was creating a revolution in America's hippie culture and getting thousands of people to Krishna consciousness. But after we come to Krishna consciousness, then the chanting has to also be intense. Somebody was telling me that devotees, they just chant Hare Krishna 2 hours in a very relaxed way with nice breeze blowing and calm weather on the bank of a river. We chant very calm 2 hours. But if you do that, then the rest 22 hours will be disturbing. But if our 2 hours chanting is disturbing, that means if 2 hours chanting is a very big struggle and trying to get the mind back and chant, then the rest 22 hours will be peaceful. So therefore, devotees, after coming to Krishna consciousness, after knowing the process, taking initiation, and then we have to take complete shelter of the holy name to have complete cleansing of the heart. And only then the chanting can work best. Because many devotees want tips for improving chanting. They say, what are the techniques? Are there any techniques? But it is the realization of most of the senior devotees and disciples of Prabhupada that the best technique to improve chanting is to have a desire to improve. If somebody has a desire to improve, then all, if you don't have any technique, no problem. But if you don't have a desire and you have piled up so much of diary and notes and techniques, it will not help. Therefore, we have to chant intensely. And once His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was here and we had asked him for a technique to improve chanting. And he had said, only technique is chant more and chant loudly and clearly. If you don't look for shortcuts, shortcut is the quickest way to go to a place where you were not planning to go. You will never reach there. Better to chant intensely. And as Govind Prabhu was saying on Sunday, Krishna consciousness is so simple that we may miss it. Chanting is also so simple that we may just miss the whole thing. That's what Srila Prabhupada writes in Adilila Purport, that chanting Hare Krishna is very easy, but one must practice it seriously. We think easy means complacency. No, Prabhupada says easy, but you must practice it seriously. That is also included. And therefore, Prabhupada one time said that Kiskon is a crying school. Here we teach devotees how to cry for Krishna. And therefore, holy name is the only shelter for devotees. And Sasurup Maharaj also writes in Japareform notebook that many times we feel satisfaction when we pull the last counter down of the 16 rounds. He says that satisfaction we feel when we pull the last counter, that is the greatest enemy of a chanter. So we should want to improve chanting and not just be complacent and be happy. And in one Bombay lecture Prabhupada was giving in 1973, Prabhupada says that there is no difference between chanting Hare Krishna and seeing Krishna eye to eye, face to face. One simply has to go on chanting and realize this. And therefore, if we chant Hare Krishna and take to this process of devotional service, rendering humble menial service, our heart also will be cleansed and we can also experience the unlimited joy of Krishna consciousness. And of course, we may not be able to go to Jagannath Puri for Gundicha Maharajan, but we have Gundicha Maharajan here today at 10 o'clock. Devotees will be cleaning the temple hall. Hare Krishna. महापुराण की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. गुंडीचा मार्जन उत्सव की जय. जगन्नाथपुरी रथयात्रा महोत्सव की जय.